Good morning, everyone. My name is Ihe. I'm a ministry intern at this church. So before I start, I just want to say thank you for those who are helping with the Middle Autumn Festival last week. It was, praise God, it was a very successful event. We have about 150 people joining us, and we're able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in both English and Chinese. So that's something we can celebrate together, and I'm really appreciate your help and support in various ways. And today is my second time to actually share God's word to the congregation. So the first time was online. I'm glad I can be here in person. I'm glad I didn't got COVID again for the second time this time. How about we pray before we start? So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you've been so gracious to us. We thank you that you give us the word of truth and wisdom and help us to live a good life, the life in your kingdom. So we pray that today, as we learn from your word together, you help us to hear your word clearly and help me to share your word clearly so we all can grow together as one church. So we pray in your holy name. Amen. So today's topic is about judging. So judge like Jesus. Do not judge. So this is perhaps the most quoted Bible verses by believers and unbelievers. And also this is, unfortunately, this is also one of the most misapplied verses in the entire Bible. So that's what normally will happen if we take the verses out of its context. People like to use this verse a lot. It's a little phrase that creep into our culture and it becomes a pet phrase for a lot of people. But we use it for self-serving purpose, to defense for ourselves. So in a restaurant, when one of your friends order not too healthy food, they probably say, "Do not judge me." Or in a workplace, when your colleague spent too much time on drinking coffee, they may say, "Do not judge me. Coffee keeps me productive." Or at home, when parents blame their kids about watching too much TV, so they may say, "Do not judge me. Watching TV is my way to relax." So we really don't want to be judged. We don't want to be seen as a bad person. And also, we don't have a value, identity, and a preference that be identified by other people. So what seems right to you doesn't seem right to me. So don't judge me. But what does Jesus actually is like trying to say on the Sermon on the Mount when he say, "Do not judge"? Does Jesus think judge is a bad thing, so we should completely get rid of it? It seems not, as he also mentioned about we do need to judge in the other parts of the Bible. Does he contradict to himself? How can we judge but also do not judge at the same time? So today we're going to look at these questions together as we exploring this part of the passage. And our big idea for today is do not be judgmental, but do judge graciously like Jesus without condemnation. My first point is the danger of judge. Let's look at the verse 1 to 5 together. So do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the spurts of sun dust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes, when all the time there's plank in your own eyes? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eyes, then you will see clearly and remove the speck from your brother's eyes. So do not judge. Now let's look at together. What does that mean? So we've mentioned that Jesus doesn't say we can't make any judgment and we should completely get rid of judging, as he does call us to judge. So in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus actually commands us to make a good judgment. So stop judging by merely appearance and make right judgment. And also even in the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus say, do not judge, Jesus also calls us to judge. For example, Matthew 7, verse 6, he warns us to not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pills to pigs. And also verse 15, Jesus warns us to watch out for false prophets. So all of these things requires us to exercise judgment and exercise it carefully. So judge itself is not a bad word. It's about discerning the truth based on facts. So judge itself isn't bad. And it's actually good and necessary. Jesus calls us to discern and make good evaluations between truth and false, good and evil. But judge can turn to bad when it becomes judgmental. So the definition of being judgmental is we make judgment based on our personal feelings and assumptions. So it's about being harsh. It's to fight the faults of people. So that's what Jesus forbid. Stop being judgmental, but do make a good judgment. So what's the danger of judging? When we judge others, we actually misjudge of who we are. When we place condemnation on other people, we falsely see ourselves as someone who is superior than them. And we see ourselves are more righteous, are better than other people. And we assume we have the right and also authority over other people as if we are God, but actually we are not. So here Jesus actually corrects us in terms of how we view ourselves. We are not the judge. We are among the judged. One day, we all will be judged by God. So God will judge us according to how we judge others. And there's another danger of judging. So we can often misjudge ourselves and others. So hypocrite is one of the biggest enemy stop us from a good judgment. So we have the tendency that trying to make ourselves feel good looks good, so we can feel better about ourselves. So when it comes to judging, we often overjudge others and underjudge ourselves. So Jesus used a very lively illustration in verse 3 to 5 and help us see how badly it can happen. So verse 3 to 5, so why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes, when all the time there's a plank in your own eyes? So the plank is massive piece of wood compared to the speck. So we turn to blind to the massive sin that we and the faults in our own life, but search carefully on the minor faults we see from other people. We see our sin as large as it can be, as something we can easily forgive. But we see the sin of other people as little, as tiny as a speck, as something that is worth to be judged, and we as something serious and a place condemnation. So that's how badly we can misjudge the both about ourselves and about other people. So I met a guy. He always complained that he couldn't find a perfect church. So what he said is actually quite right. There's no such thing called perfect church. As we're a group of sinners, we're imperfect, but we are perfect in Christ. So every time I met him, he started to complain. So he complains about the culture of church. He complains about the leadership of the church. He complained about the characters of the leaders of church. He complained a lot, everything, go on and on. And he complained that he's not very welcome there. And then he added one little sentence. He said, "I don't say I'm perfect, but I feel I'm better than them." So he can clearly see all the faults, all the imperfections of other people, but he can't see any faults of himself. So that's how tragedy it can be. And also, another danger is we can be judgmental based on appearance. We can be tempted to judge people according to the color of skin, religious background, their political standings, or their sexualities. Or we may rush to judge just simply based on the limited information we have. So how often we jump into conclusion based on the tiny bit of story that we hear or like we see or hear about other people. We make a judgment quickly just based on the limited snapshot we got without any context, without any further evaluations, or without knowing the hearts and motivations of the people. So just like seeing an iceberg, what we can see is only the 10% of them. The rest is under the surface. And it's especially true when we nowadays, when we see things in the social media. So on the social media, we normally only see parts of the information. We really can't see the whole picture of what is going on. Our information is so limited. And there's always some forms of plank in our eyes. And we need to be careful in terms of how we judge, of the things or the people, the news we hear in the social media. So we only can see part of the information. But God sees the whole picture in us and in the other people. He is the one with all of the information, and he is impartial. And he is the one who can make the true judgment. The scariest thing is the method we use to judge people will be the method God used to judge us one day. So we need to be very careful of how we judge, because we are not the judge, we are among the judged. My second point for today is Jesus' way of judging. So we have been reminded about the danger of judging. So as feeble and fallen human beings, we are limited and we can't see things clearly as it should be. We can easily misjudge about ourselves and about others. So we tend to judge harshly and be judgmental. So we really need to be careful of how we judge. And Jesus shows us a different way of how we can judge. And it was implied in this passage. So now let's look at verse 1 and 2 again. So do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus said in a passive way, do not judge, do not be judgmental, do not judge harshly to others. Otherwise, you will be judged by God in the same way. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And now let's put it in a positive way. So what Jesus is trying to say here is, do judge graciously, do judge well, judge others as you would like to be judged. What Jesus implies here is to judge graciously like he does. So let's learn from Jesus about how he judged, because he is a perfect judge. So let's look at the life of Jesus together. So Jesus' way of judging is very different than us. So as we look at the Jesus' life in the gospel, he's consistently very generous, gracious, patient, and kind to those who are struggling in their brokenness. Jesus welcomed sinners. He allows a woman who had lived a sinful life to come to close to him and wash his feet. And Jesus is also gracious to the lepers. So they are outcast people. They are rejected and isolated by this society. But Jesus welcomed them. He touched them and healed them. Jesus also consistently spent time with sinners and the tax collectors. And he even have had meal with them. So he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So for I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but to sinners. So Jesus judged graciously to sinners, including us. He knows every thought you have. And every time you had misjudged someone else, every time you experienced expected behaviors from others that you haven't done by yourself. Jesus knows us fully. And if he was to judge us harshly, we would be all lost. But Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Jesus is really gracious to those who are struggling in brokenness. So let's hold out Jesus as good news to the struggles. So if you find yourself here this morning feeling like judged by someone, feel broken, or inadequate, come to Jesus. He's gracious to people like you and like me. And he welcomes you and loves you. And he speaks tenderly. He offers you compassion, forgiveness. Jesus also gives a warning in this passage to those who do the reverse. So we see his reaction to them also in the gospel. Jesus condemned harshly to the teachers of laws and the religious leaders. So in Matthew chapter 27, the whole chapter is about how Jesus rebuked them. So six times Jesus said, "Vow to you, teachers of laws and Pharisees, you hypocrite." Jesus condemned harshly to those who are hypocritical and self-righteous. So these people think they are perfect on their own. And they reject God. They judge ungraciously and harshly to those who are broken and sick. In return, Jesus will be harsh to them. And with the measure they use, it will be measured to them. So if you are here this morning that you are like with smug superiority, so knows Jesus sees you and also he sees through you. He sees the measure that you applied to others. So what measure you want Jesus to use on you? So do you want to be judged graciously by him, or you want to be judged harshly? So it's our own choice. My last point is Jesus invites us to judge with discernment. So we've talked about the danger of judging. So Jesus' way of judge. And the last point we will talk about how we judge. So Jesus invites us to judge with discernment. Let's read verse 4 and 5 again. But focus on verse 5 this time. So how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes, when all the time there's a plank in your own eyes? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eyes, and then you will see clearly and remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Jesus invites us to discern, and he invites us to discern in three areas here. So firstly, Jesus invites us to discern and evaluate our own thoughts. First, take the plank out of our own eyes. It's not the sin of the other people that we should pay our primary attention to. It's just like a speck. It's not the sin of other people that we should pay our primary attention to. So it's just like a speck to us. So it's our own sin that we should be preoccupied and to deal with it. So it's like a plank in our own eyes. We need to be clear here. So Jesus doesn't say one person's sin is bigger than the other. Sin is our common enemies. So it appears in different form, in different shape, and some of them are hidden, some of them are more externally noticed. But they are in the same weight, and there's something that we all struggle with. And the Bible says in this way, like, we are no different before God. We all short of God's glory. But for each person, our sin appears bigger to ourselves as it's closer to us. So it's our sin that we need to take primary concern. And we need to deal with it with discernment. One of the best way we can do is to keep the word of God in our heart. David affirmed this truth in Psalm 119 verse 11. So your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Soak in God's word. So meditate on God's word day and night. So make God's word in our mirror, and we consistently to come to God to check with this mirror that God gives to us. And also Jesus invites us to discern with others' thoughts. So verse 5, Jesus shows us a beautiful picture of the life in the kingdom of God. That God's people love each other through helping each other to be more Christ-like. But there's a prerequisite. Like, we have to deal with our sin first. Then we can see clearly if other people's sin and help other people to deal with their sins. It's important that we correct our sins first, as only if our sins has been dealt with, that we can like clearly see the sins of others and help them to correct their sins. Also, only after we are graciously forgiven by God that we can correct others graciously. So rather than being judgmental or being harsh to them. So the whole process of correcting other people needs to be done gently and with a great care and a compassion. So we may feel difficult and uncomfortable when it comes to exercising, displaying, or correcting others. It's normal feeling to have. But don't lose heart. because we have a great encouragement from God, from Hebrew, verse 20, like chapter 22, verse 11. So no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produced harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who have been trained by it. So this is great hope and encouragement we have when we do correct other people's faults with great care and concern, as we actually help them to be more Christ-like and help them to bear fruit. And lastly, Jesus also invites us to discern evangelism. So verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pills to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn your tear and then turn you to pierce. So I guess for most of us, when we first read this passage, we feel a bit confused. It seems a bit of sudden and odd. So what does Jesus really say here? So the dog and the pigs Jesus mentioned here is not the well-behaved pet that we normally have, like in an Ellington home. So I know Matt and Julia have a very cute dogs. So every Tuesday night when we have a growth group, so the dogs stay with us. So it lie on the couch and they lie on the very nice and warm blanket, and it lie next to us and expect some petting from us. But the dogs and the pigs, with Jesus mentioned here, is nothing close to that. It's wild, unclean, and a despised animal, full of dirt and aggressive. So if you threw pills or something sacred to them, they won't see the value of it, and they won't appreciate. They will just trample it under the feet, and they may get angry with you. Here, Jesus calls us to discern in evangelism. So not to give what is valuable, the gospel, which is the most valuable things, to those who not ready to appreciate or reject it or consistently to mock it. So we need to be clear that Jesus doesn't suggest that we should decide who to share the gospel, who we shouldn't. Instead, Jesus suggests in our evangelism, we may encounter some people who just consistently reject Jesus, reject God. And every time when you bring up about Jesus, he just don't appreciate and he will get angry with you. So Jesus say here, it may come to a point, you just need to stop. Because we can't force the gospel to other people. So it can only make the situation worse rather than better. So at that point, instead of keeping on burning our time on them, we just need to move on and save time for those who is keen and ready to hear the gospel. I know this message can be hard for us, especially when we realize some of our family members, some of our friends still need us to, like friends, they are one of them. It's hard to move on, but it doesn't mean you can't do anything about it. And also it doesn't mean we just need to give up them. We actually can turn to pray for them. We can turn to dependent prayer to the only one who can change people's heart. We can ask God to change their heart, ask God to soften their heart and make them ready for hearing the God's word. But by now, probably just invest your gospel proclamation elsewhere and continue to pray for that person. And now it comes to the conclusion. So we need to be careful of how we judge, as one day we will all be judged by God. And we are not the judge, we're among the judged. Our priority is not to point out other people's faults. Our priority is come before God and to discern about our own faults and deal with the sin that we have. And only after we can discern our sins, deal with our sins properly, that we can help other people to grow, to be more Christ-like. But we need to be, we need to do it with extra care when we're helping people to correct their sins. We need to be gentle, be gracious, like what Jesus did for us. And we're also called to make good judgment, but not from our own lens, but from the lens of God. We are called to live a life of discernment, discern our own faults, the other people's faults, and also in evangelism. And we really need God's help. We need God's word and wisdom from Him to help us do well in this process, to do well to live a decent life. So let's close the sermon in prayer. So let's pray to God. Dear God, we thank you that you are a gracious judge, that you judge us graciously, that you do not come to condemn, but to save us from our struggles and our sins. So we pray that you continue to help us to see our own faults clearly, and also help us to be gracious when we come to helping others to crack their sins. We pray that you give us the wisdom to live a decent life, a life of discernment, so we can honor you in the way we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.